Well, praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. What a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. It's Pastor Joshua M. Daniels of the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, located at 1300 East 50th Street, Los Angeles, California, 90011. And I'm excited to share the word of the living God with you. Mount Zion is a church where change happens every week. And if you're ever in the Los Angeles area, we invite you to join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. for a life-changing worship experience. You might come one way, but we promise you won't leave the same way you came. We pray that this message that you're getting ready to hear is going to be a tremendous blessing to your life. It's up from here.
Hear me today. Please don't take the bait. I don't know who I'm preaching to in here today, but I came to tell you, please don't take the bait, because one of the reasons Jesus came was to show you something real. Jesus came to serve as the door of the sheep pen of our lives, to guard us from those things and those people that would seek to separate us from him. And that's what Jesus is saying when he says, I'm the door. He's saying, I'm your guard. I'm your protection. I'm the one who's going to keep you safe. Because the sheep pen was a place of security, which means that the door of the sheep pen was designed to do two things. Anybody interested? Here's the first one. The door of the sheep pen was designed to enclose. Everybody say enclose. Enclose. You see, the shepherd lays at the door to protect the sheep from thieves and from things throughout the night. Why? Because Michelle, the shepherd, knows that the sheep's safety is not outside of the sheep pen. I wish God had some friends in this church. The sheep's safety is inside of the sheep pen. And if the sheep wants to stay safe, then they need to stay behind the door. And friends, I came to tell you today, you ain't safe when you're outside the sheep pen. And I'm being honest with y'all today. That's why I don't understand people who live without Jesus. I don't understand them. I really don't. I'm not saying that I ain't never had no questions about my faith. But what I am saying is that my faith also has given me a whole lot of answers about the questions of my life, which is why I know it's safer in the pen than it is outside of the pen. And I know some of y'all talking about, well, you don't even know if Jesus is real. And you don't even know if heaven is real. You don't even know if it's a heaven or hell. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather live like it is a heaven and find out it ain't one, then live like it ain't one and find out that it is one. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I came to tell you it's safer inside the pen than outside the pen. And today I came to preach to somebody who doesn't know whether or not you want to give this Jesus stuff a try. I came to tell you that you are much more safer in the pen than you are outside of the pen, because there are some thieves and some things outside of the pen that want to destroy you. There are some things and some thieves outside of the pen that want to distract you. There are some things and some thieves outside of the pen that want to damage you. But the good news of the day is that there's safety. Hey, in the pen. And I'm looking for somebody in this church today who can be my amen corner right along through here and say, Pastor, that's my testimony, because I found safety in the pen. I'm looking for some people in this church who can testify that life has happened to me. I've had some good days. I've had some bad days. I've had some mountains. I've had some valleys. But my testimony today is that I've been safe because I stayed in the pen. That's why my testimony is that because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadows, and he leads me beside the quiet streams. He restores my failing hands, and he helps me to do what honors him the most. He is my shout. That's why I'm safe. That's why I'm safe. That's why I'm safe. I'm safe. And I'm looking for somebody in this church who can testify that I'm safe in the pen. I'm looking for somebody in this church who can say, let the winds blow. Let the breakers dash. Let the floods come. I'm going to stay in the pen. I'm going to stay right with God, because that's where my safety is. Yeah.
All right. All right. All right. One more thing. One more thing. The door is designed. Thank you. I'm trying. Here it is. Here it is. The door is designed to enclose. But here the second one. Don't miss this one. The door, said Morgan,
is designed to expose. Just tell somebody, buckle up, buckle up. Notice, Jesus makes some interesting statements, Sammy, in verses 3-5. He says to him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by its name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. They didn't understand him. So he goes on to say in verses 7-8, then Jesus said to them again, verily, verily, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I love it, because Jesus lets us know that him being the door doesn't just keep things enclosed, keeps me enclosed, but it also exposes some things. Notice he says it exposes two things. First of all, it exposes artificial shepherds. See, Jesus says he's the door, and he knows who's coming in, and whether or not they're another shepherd or a thief and a robber. Now, these references to those who came before and them being thieves and robbers, Jesus is not talking about the prophets and the kings of the Old Testament. No, he's speaking specifically about these Pharisees who he's still in conversation with. He was talking about the religious leaders of that day, and what they were teaching people and what Jesus was showing people were two totally different things. But Jesus says they are thieves and they are robbers because ultimately their teaching was designed to draw people from God and not to God. Why? Because they taught a works-based system of religion. They taught that right relationship with God was about what you do. Don't look at them like that, because some of y'all are more Pharisaic than Christian, because some of you believe that. That's why you spend all of your days trying to figure out, how can I be good enough for God to love me? How can I do enough for God to bless me? How can I do enough for God to take care of me? And let me tell you something, you can't do enough right to outweigh all the wrong you've done. How you know, Pastor? Because you can't remember all the wrong you've done. So as soon as you think that you have checked off the boxes, there's another sin you done forgot about. You know why? Because right relationship with God is not based on works. It's based on grace. Come here, Paul, help me preach a little while. It is by grace that we are saved, not of works, lest any man can boast. And you didn't do nothing to save you. Right relationship ain't about what you do. It's about what God already did through Jesus. Here's a shout. You don't know artificial until you've been exposed to the authentic. And Jesus says, I'm the door because I expose the real from the fake. That's why in our attempts to be pro-black, we can't be anti-Bible. That's why in our attempts to be socially conscious, we can't be spiritually dull. We got to realize that anything that does not draw you to God is a thief and a robber. And notice I caught these artificial shepherds, because God ain't the only one leading us. That's why the first commandment is, don't have no other God before me, because he knew you was going to have some more little gods. Because some of us, God ain't the only person leading us. Some of us are led by a lot of people and a lot of things. But God's word to you today is that if you are being led, whatever you're being led by, if it is not leading you closer to God, it is a thief and a robber. But here's the second thing. Here's the one where it's really about to get tight. The door doesn't just expose artificial shepherds, but the door exposes authentic sheep. Notice Jesus begins to talk about a shepherd coming, and watch this, and calling out his sheep. Now, for those of us who live in the Western world, and you know, we ain't shepherds and stuff around here, we don't understand what Jesus was saying, but all who heard him understood the distinction that he was making. Because see, back in those days, often several shepherds would use a single sheep pen or sheepfold, and they would take turns guarding it each night. So at night, you would have several folds of sheep in one fold. You'll have several flocks of sheep in one fold. And in the morning, each shepherd would come to the door, and they would call out to their sheep, and the sheep wouldn't move without hearing the voice of their shepherds.
Now, some scholars contend that shepherds would name each sheep and that some would even use certain sounds that would train the sheep on how to respond. But the point is clear. Mingling with other animals was not a problem because each flock would only respond, hallelujah, to the voice of their shepherd. And Jesus is letting us know that him being the door doesn't just enclose the sheep, but it exposes the sheep, because he lets us know that him being the door lets us see who is and who is not a part of the flock of God. Because according to the text, only his sheep only move at his voice. Now, when you look at the verses 4 and 5 in the Greek, it really make you shout. Because verse 4 and 5, there are two words that expose here. The two words are follow and know. He says it twice. He says, they ain't going to follow a stranger because they don't know him. But he also says, but they're going to follow the shepherd because they know his voice. See, that word follow in the text means to obey. That word know in the text is the Greek word gnosko, which means to know by way of experience. In other words, Jesus says, my sheep won't obey a stranger because they don't have no experience with a stranger. But my sheep obey me because they've been walking with me. And I love this because this teaches us why it seems like some Christians get it and others don't. This understands why some Christians seem to obey the Bible and others don't. Why some seem to trust God and others don't. Why some seem to have joy and others don't. Why some seem to believe in Jesus only and others mix other philosophies. Why some seem to be drawn away by new things and new teachings all the time. But then there's some others that are planted like a tree by the rivers of water. Can I tell you why? It's because those who are not, it's probably because they ain't in the same flock and don't have the same shepherd. But when the Lord is your shepherd and you got experience with him, you'll follow him wherever he leads. And I think I ought to rush to tell you that when you know your shepherd, you move when he says move. You go when he says go. Your experience has taught you that your shepherd is worthy of trust.
Okay, let me put it this way. Last Sunday evening, I had to go preach down the street, down the road for a past anniversary. And Tony, I ain't even had a chance to tell you this yet, but I was so proud. I was such a proud pastor. Because one of the first times we went out, the praise team peoples and the musicians, they was all in place before I stood up. And I'm old fashioned. Like, no, I'm an old pastor for real. I know I look young, but I'm really old. And I don't believe that you ought to move until the pastor say move. Ain't nobody else about to tell my members to stand up. No. You don't tell my members when they get into a choir loft and when they get on instruments. You ain't they shepherd. So I called Tony the next morning. Am I lying? I said, hey, Tony, we're going to be going out again. And just make sure that when we go out, y'all don't move till I tell you to move. Because I believe the sheep ought to know the shepherd's voice. So Sunday evening, we was at this church. And on the program, they had it listed that the choir was going to sing before I preached. And the dude who was introducing me kept trying to say, after the choir sings, Pastor Dan's going to come. And he kept saying it, trying to get the choir to move. But they was just sitting there. And trying to get the music, but they're just sitting there. And so I walked up on him, and as I was getting ready to take the mic, I told him, you can stop saying that. They're not going to move till the shepherd say move. And can I tell you something? If my members can feel that way about their earthly shepherd, then how much more should we feel that way about the great shepherd? And I'm looking for some folk in this church who can say for the rest of my life, I ain't moving until I hear the voice of the shepherd. I can't go nowhere till I hear his voice. I can't do nothing till I hear his voice. I can't make a decision till I hear his voice. I can't move on an opportunity till I hear his voice. I can't move on an idea until I hear his voice, because I can't move until the shepherd tells me to move.
I'm one of his real sheep. All right, I'm done. One more thing. I only got 1 minute on the clock, but I really need you to give me five. Can you give me five? Did you say no, we can't? I need to put oil on you. Here it is. One more thing. No, one more thing. One more point. And this is the most important point of this whole sermon. That's why I got. If I didn't have this point, I would just try to hunk it off right here. But I gotta give you this. Here's the last one. Him being the door means, first of all, that he grants me access into the family. Him being the door means he guards me from being allured by the false. But here's the last one, and I'm done. It means that he guarantees me abundance and fullness. Will you say that with me? Say, he guarantees me abundance and fullness. All right, I'm signing off here. But this is the most important point of the whole sermon. I've been preaching this whole time just trying to get to this point. Jesus closes out this first part of this revelatory narrative in verses 9 and 10. Look what he says in verse 9 and 10. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Veronica, these two very important verses, I need you to give me a few minutes to unpack them, because these verses, Jesus gives us two major truths that we got to live on. You ready for them? I need y'all to write these down. Notice the sad payoff of life. Don't miss it. Notice the sad payoff of life. We have often quoted verse 10 as if verse 10 was a reference to Satan. So I know every time you've heard that scripture referenced, we say it's the devil. That the devil is the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But to do that is to rob the text of its richness and to divorce the text from its context. Because John 10 and 10 is not a standalone verse. John 10 and 10 follows John 10, 1 through 9. And the thief Jesus is talking about here is not Satan. If anything, it's the Pharisees that he's been rebuking. But Jesus is really using the thief metaphor, friends, hear me, for anything that draws you away from God. And here's what Jesus is telling us. Here it is. Hear me, friends. Hear me. Jesus is telling us that ultimately, going after the things of the world is a thief. That ultimately, the things of the world only end up stealing your faith, killing your witness, and destroying your soul. You don't got to look far for that. Because most of us in this room, we know people who went after the things of the world, and they ended up having lost their faith, killed their witness, and destroyed their soul. Do you hear me today? Don't fall for the trap. Don't let life become a thief and take you away from that which is most important. But there is good news. Y'all know I couldn't leave you like that. There is good news. There's a word about the sad payoff of life, but the good news of the day is that there's a word of the sure promises of the Lord. Notice the sure promises of the Lord. Jesus says, but if you come through me, hallelujah, I'm going to give you everything that you need. Jesus says that what the thief does, that's what the thief does. But I came. I like it. Because, you know, the text says, I am come. But when you read it in the Greek, it says, I came. That's my shout. The thief comes, but I came. Y'all don't want to have no shout. The thief comes, but I came. The thief comes. That's my present problem. But Jesus came. That's my past victory. Huh? Which means that Jesus has already settled and secured all these promises. And notice what Jesus says he'll give me if I come through the door. Jesus says in verse 9, he says, I'm the door. And if anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. Then in verse 10, he tells them, I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I love these two verses the most in the Passion Translation of the Bible. The Passion Translation of the Bible reads verses 9 and 10 this way. It says, I am the gateway. To enter through me is to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness. Here it is, until you overflow. I wish y'all liked the Bible around here. Jesus said, the thief came to steal, to kill and destroy. But I came so that I could give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness till it overflows. I got to go. But notice Jesus promises four things. He promises protection. Everybody say protection. He says, if you come through me, you're going to be saved. That Greek word there is sozo. It doesn't mean the salvation of your soul. It means protection from danger. He says that if you come through me, you don't got to worry about sickness. You don't have to worry about suffering. You don't have to worry about trouble. I'm going to protect you. Here's the other one. He says, I'm going to give you privilege. He says, you're going to go in and out. That's freedom. I like that, because he says, if you follow me, you're not going to live a restricted life. Because too many people think Christianity is about don'ts and nots. But Christianity is not just about what you can't do. It's about what God can do through you and for you. And he says that if you come to me, I'm going to give you real freedom. Real freedom ain't found outside of me. Real freedom is found with me. That you're not really free until you submit it to me. One more. He says, I'm going to give you provision. He says, they're going to find pasture. That word pasture in the text literally depicts the provisions of the sheep. He says, I'm going to take you somewhere where you can eat. I'm going to take you somewhere where you can rest. I'm going to take you somewhere where you can relax. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I came to tell you that if you just follow Jesus, you don't got to worry about your bills. You don't have to worry about no money. You don't have to worry about no provision. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. But here's where I'm trying to get to. Here's where I'm trying to get to. Protection, privilege, provision. Here's the last one. Everybody say plenty. Plenty. Look what he says. He says, but I've come that you may have life, and life more abundantly. The Amplified Version says, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. The Message Bible says, I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. I love it. That word life in the text is the Greek word zoe, which means to have life at its full. That word abundantly in the text, it is the Greek word person, which literally, here's what person means in the Greek. It means that which goes way beyond necessity. Y'all don't like this Bible. When Jesus says, I've come that you may have a life and have it more abundantly, see, he already promised that you were going to have your necessities when he told you you'd find pasture. The pasture is where he already promised you're going to have your necessities. He says, but if you come to me, I'm going to give you more beyond your necessities. He says, I'm going to give you life beyond your wildest dreams. All right? All right, here's what I'm trying to get to. Hear the point. You ready? Hear the point. Jesus ain't talking about heaven in this text. Notice I ain't never said he the door to heaven. Jesus ain't talking about heaven. He talking about here. Why? Because Jesus said, I didn't come here for nothing. He said, I came that you might have. That word have in the Greek is in the present active subjunctive, which means to contain now. In other words, Jesus said, I'm not just trying to give you eternal life when you die. I want to give you a great life while you're here. I want to give you the fullness of life right now. Here's the point. God is saying, I'm not against you having stuff. Matter of fact, this text actually shows us God want to give you more stuff than you can handle. God says, here's the thing, I just want you to go through me for the stuff. Because God says, you can miss God going after stuff, but you ain't never going to miss stuff going after God. And God said, I came that you might have life. And that's all I came to tell somebody, is that if you trust God, if you give God a chance, God said he wants you to have life right now. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I dare somebody to lift up your hands and throw your head back and just say, I'm going to live. Come on, that's the wrong person. Give me them strings. I said, you need to lift your hands and say, I'm going to live. God says, it's time for you to stop walking around this life, walking around acting as if God don't have more. God told me to tell you, he's got more for you. God's got greatness for you. God's got harvest for you here. It ain't waiting on you to have streets of gold in heaven. God wants you to have some gold here. God don't want you to just see jasper in heaven. He wants you to see some jasper here. He don't just want you to have a mansion in heaven. He wants you to have a good house here. God came
that you may have life. And have it more abundantly. God says, I want to give you more than you ever expected. But you got to get it through me. I'm sorry, but you can only get in this way. God is not against. As I was writing this sermon, I was talking through a piece of this text with Carl, and we were talking about it, and I told him, I said, here's the thing. God ain't against us being blessed. God just wants you to know the source of the blessing. And I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but I came to tell somebody there is more to life than what you're experiencing right now.
Well, listen, we're out of time, but not out of truth. We pray something was said today that is going to change the trajectory of your life forever. If you have never met Jesus Christ before, now is a great time for you to get to know him. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner, but I believe that you died. Come into my heart. Make me new. I want to live for you. My brother, my sister, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to know that you've been saved. And him who the Son sets free is free indeed. Listen, if you want to learn more about our ministry or you want to give to support our ministry and help us to continue to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with the world, then go to our website, www.mountmtzionla.org. That's www.mountmtzionla.org. We're so grateful to God that you have tuned in, and we hope that your life will forever be blessed. It's up from here.